Megan Trainor with Lunch Money Lewis. I love me. And at 6 minutes past 3 o'clock on a Tuesday, if you've been following us on social media, you will no doubt be anxiously anticipating the conversation to follow. We have Councillor Tammy Colley from Ward 6 in Ballito in the house, along with Mornay Steffens from the Neighbourhood Watch, and Mike Hagan, who is a very concerned citizen activist, all of whom have an opinion about what is about to go down on Thursday and Friday evening in the Lower Ballito Village. So welcome to the show, folks. Lovely to have you aboard. And thanks for responding. It was really a last-minute whip around to see. And I think the reason it's been last-minute is that although apparently this news of the concert having been moved from its location in the past, which was on Salt Rock Beach, quite a large spit of sand on the other side of the Ganges River, as it's euphemistically referred to, that rather smelly little stream that runs onto. And you know, no one really had, no one was tremendously happy about the concerts, particularly the hip-hop concert that saw people being bussed in their hundreds, maybe thousands even, because they would do what young people do. You know, the concert might end at a certain time, but the party definitely didn't. And then, of course, there's the drinking that goes with it. That's not supposed to happen, but everyone knows is going to. And then the antisocial behavior that follows. And, you know, in an area like Salt Rock, you can kind of, more or less, it's got egress and access through the main road. And it's kind of, in a sense, pretty much, you know, it's more manageable. The Ballito Village and Salmon Bay is minute by comparison. Correct. And what on earth persuaded the organizers of the concert to move from Salt Rock to Salmon Bay is really a question that I don't think any of us are here going to be able to answer. But it was apparently mentioned and has been in the public domain for several weeks. And I have to admit that, I mean, I tend to keep an ear and an eye open to everything in the public domain. I was unaware that it had moved to Salmon Bay. And that's my first question. Was there no consultation with those that are going to be, I would imagine, fairly significantly affected on Thursday night and Friday as a result? Because it's a residential area, and that means you're going to have areas cordoned off, I presume, to control crowds. You're going to have access control. You're going to have definitely revelry in the streets at night. Thursday night is a work night, you know, and it's a residential area, so it's a tiny business node. And then all around in this great big amphitheater, well, Mike, your Minerva Road group is just above the Happy World Land that we're going to be experiencing. Tammy, as the councillor for the area, were you involved in the negotiation to move to Salmon Bay?
Hi, Dave. Thanks very much for having me on the show, and greetings to all your listeners on 88 FM. It's always great to be on Radio Life and Style. The reason that the concert was moved from Salt Rock Beach to Salmon Bay is due to the floods that we experienced earlier on in the year, a few weeks ago. The access road to Salt Rock Main Beach has been severely... has been severely compromised, and that was the reason that was part of the starting process to move the concert to an alternate location. So what first happened, I think it was possibly around about 4, maybe 5 weeks ago, an email was sent through to the municipality from Councillor Privy Naidu, stating that she was concerned that with all the damage that had taken place because of the floods, that it wouldn't be possible to have the concerts on the main beach. We did suggest that they get moved up to Sugar Rush, where there have been concerts taken place previously. And then further to that, there was an inspection, from what I understand, done on all the beaches because the sponsors wanted the concert to take place on the beach. And there were some engineers, and they inspected all the beaches to search for a beach where they could have the concert. As far as consultation goes, there was no consultation with myself as a ward councillor to say, what are your opinions on it? It was just the information was given to me. That is the place where the concerts will take place. And I put that information out on social media around about the 20th of June. Hmm. And that's when I knew about it.
And what is your opinion of it?
I think looking back historically on the concerts, there's always been a mixed opinion about whether it can work and whether it can't work. And obviously the people in Salt Rock are going to be more than chuffed that this is now taking place in Ballito. I think also...
And why is that?
Well, because of the noise. Ah. I mean, because of the noise. I mean, let's be honest, because of the noise. And I think...
But surely there's a much bigger noise factor to bear in mind at Salmon Bay, where you've got literally a massive residential area rising up above it, like an amphitheater.
Sure.
It doesn't make any sense that because of noise they move it away from Salt Rock.
No. They haven't moved it. Let's get it clear. It hasn't been moved. It would have continued at Salt Rock had the floods not happened.
So therefore there is obviously a noise irritation factor to the local populace.
Absolutely. Just and the same as if you live behind Tuan Main or you live behind the lychee orchard. There is a noise factor that some people find offensive.
Okay, all right. So,
which I understand.
So it's not in my backyard issue. We don't mind you having a concert as long as it's not in my backyard. Mm. Okay.
I think we must be honest. I think there is certainly there is always that as a factor.
But you know what? Let's bring in the safety and security aspect of it, because there are more suitable places for concerts. There definitely are. Sure. I hear the sponsors have a lovely idea that it's we need a beach. Bottom line is, once the sun goes down, you don't know if you're on the beach or on the moon. You can't see the sea. It's cold. It's not particularly conducive to anything other than a bit of sand which gets in your sandwiches. So that's I would imagine a nice notion. But practically, it doesn't really work. But there's a bigger issue at hand. And that is, if you've got a situation which is very tightly bound access-wise, and you're going to be bringing in the past, they've talked about thousands of people. I don't know whether it's hundreds or whether it's thousands, but let's just go with thousands because that's what the pro says they attract. If you're bringing thousands of people into a residential area which has got very, very narrow streets and very limited access, there's no parking relative to the numbers coming in, surely there's a massive security issue there. Morne, Neighbourhood Watch, what is your opinion?
Yeah, absolutely, Dave. I think the first thing is, of course, bearing in mind the parking. Let's say something happens in that tiny area. A car sets on fire, which we know does happen if we think back on Sunday morning. You know, I'm very concerned about people being able to evacuate very quickly out of that small space. And also, you know, the parking, how is that going to impact our neighbors? We've seen what happens in concerts in Blythale, for instance. You know, driveways gets parked up and there's just no access.
Yeah.
And from a safety and security perspective, big concern. We've seen stabbings. We've seen handbags being stolen. We've seen cell phones being stolen at these concerts. It's a huge security risk. And there's never been enough security to prevent that sort of crime.
Historically, this is the case. There really hasn't been sufficient. And those that have been there tend to knock off at 10 o'clock. And the concert runs until 11. So, you know, there again is another question mark. Yeah. I just question the value of the concert versus the potential down. Because, look, we've been lucky. We've got to admit, for the past however many years the pro's been here, 18, 17, there hasn't really been a major incident. But it's purely due to, you know, the grace of good luck that it hasn't happened. Mm-hmm. And what the chances are that one day there is going to be an incident. And then... we talk about the multiplier effect of this kind of event being great value for Ballito. You know, apparently the latest figure from the municipality in terms of expenditure on the pro is 7 million rand. That's what it cost us. Are we getting value for that money? I ask the question because we're looking at some serious issues here that they're not... whinging old dare I use the word, no, let's not be ageist, sexist, or anything other than factual. This is not the griping of a kind of old moneyed elite that doesn't want their backyard to be proliferated with loud music and antisocial behavior. We can understand that, Cocker. This is a real issue of safety and security. It's as simple as that. And you're an expert in that field. And you're concerned. You've been in touch with the municipality, and they seem to be concerned.
Well, Dave, the problem is, you know, we've from a neighborhood watch and a CPF community policing forum perspective, you know, the fact that there's not even, you know, we weren't approached by any to say, can you guys help? Can you assist in terms of just being eyes and ears on the ground as we would normally do? You know, and I think it was just a bit blasé in terms of just carrying on and setting up what wanted to be done, you know. And to be quite honest with you, my point of view is I don't understand the concept or the link between a concert and a surf competition. It just doesn't make sense to me. And I am concerned about the number of people that will be entering the residential areas and will they sufficiently be able to get back? Is there going to be enough taxis? Is there going to be enough buses, enough public transport to get the people out? You know, and my concern is, as we see happen so often in December with people that's intoxicated, what issues get caused down at the bottom village?
Let's bring Mike Hagen into the picture, because Mike, you've been, as I say, an active citizen for the area, and you certainly have done your due diligence today, going around to businesses and residents, to just gauge the temperature. And what is that temperature?
Well, Dave, again, thank you so much for having me, and it's always great to be on Radio Life and Style. And just relative to what you threw at me this morning, I can't remember, about 11 o'clock, and said, what do you think? And I sort of said, let me do a bit of research, because I don't like coming here unless I've checked up. So I put on my street WhatsApp group. Like Mornay's Neighborhood Watch, we have street groups, which look after, in my case, about 49 houses in our local area. Not one single person had been approached or heard about it other than, and when you said, when did you learn about it, to the others, I learned about this coming to Salmon Bay last week when the Belita Pro magazine came out. Mm-hmm. And I looked it up, and that was the first time I ever knew it wasn't going to be at Salt Rock. Yeah. It was going to be right in front of me. And when I say right in front of me, I'm talking about 450 meters. And you raised an important thing about the geography. Please understand that where this is a cul-de-sac. One way in, one way out. If we're talking about, Mornay's talking about safety and security, you need to exit and get out quickly. There is no such thing. If there's a stampede or a craziness that goes on, the masses are all trapped on top of each other. Don't worry about the word masses. And effectively, that's what I'm saying from a safety and security point of view. This is not in any way an ideal venue. When Tammy talked about going up the hill and finding a spot in the farmland, of course that works properly, but not in a cul-de-sac. When we come to noise, just think about this, exactly what you said, Dave. From the beach, you go straight up. You go up a dune where all houses have been built on very soft sand, and that noise just goes straight up. So noise levels are going to be higher. But if you look at the geography of our roads and when they were built, 1960s, we've got tiny little roads. I'm talking about my road, Minerva, the road, Minerva Road South, Sandra, etc. They're not designed for quickly, let's do a U-turn and get out of here, there's a problem. There is no place to go and get out of. People are all enclosed in the same tiny little venue. And so coming back to what you said about my research, I went up and down and not a single person, even though I was saying to Tammy just outside, apparently there was a meeting, some people told me 4 days ago, where they said, guys, we're going to go and contact every single local resident, tell them what's going on, inform them how to get in and out of their own area. Because some areas, take the end of Compensation Beach Road, going towards Zimbali Beach Estate.
That's completely closed.
You're closed. You live there. You're number 99 or whatever the house number is. You can't get to your own house. They're supposed to have tickets that's like stick it on your car. You can now come in. You're a local resident or whatever.
But none of these have been produced, and the event is in 2 days' time.
In 48 hours. Guys, 48 hours.
Tammy, this sounds like a potential disaster. I mean, I'm just saying, because listening to the very salient points that have been raised, if anything goes wrong, there's no recourse to anyone, because, well, presumably, who is the ultimate authority here? Well, is it the council? Is it Guadagusa? Is it the organizers of the event? Is it the sponsors? Is it who?
I would imagine that the ultimate people who will be responsible would be Guadagusa Municipality, along with the
And by the way, I've tried to get hold of a representative from the municipality to join us on for this conversation. Unfortunately, I was unsuccessful. I will continue to try.
Look, absolutely. I think the officials from the municipality should be the ones that are on the radio answering these questions, because they've been involved in the planning of it. I am very concerned that none of the residents were consulted.
Were you consulted?
Not, I wasn't invited to any of the meetings, but that's not unusual.
You're the ward councillor.
No, it's not unusual, because I never have been. Well, maybe the concert's always been in Salt Rock, so I've never been invited to the meetings for organising the event that takes place between obviously Surfing World Surf League and Colette, who is the event organiser from the municipality's side. So to answer your question, I think it would be the responsibility of both Guadagusa along with the organisers should anything go wrong. I do know that there is far more security for the concerts this year, and it is something that we mustn't lose sight of when the concerts...
Well, I heard a voice note from Colette Bundy saying, giving us a rundown of what security measures have been put in place. And it seemed that they were relying quite heavily on a private security company from Stanga that has kind of not the best track record
in this area. I don't want to comment about that because I don't know.
That's their security. They're not sure about SAPS, from what I can understand. KDM knocks off at 10 o'clock. We know that. And who else? UIP.
UIP.
With they've got a handful of members. This is not security.
They've got, from the municipality's point of view, we've got a team from the south side, and they're bringing an additional team from the north. So we're going to have additional...
So we'll have two cars. Well, I mean, look, Dave, let's be honest. This is the security that we've had in the past.
Can I give you some numbers I was given earlier?
Yeah.
20 police officers from Mshlali. 20 from KDM, 8 from special forces, I'm not sure what they're called, they're like bouncers.
Correct.
That's a total of 28 people. I don't know, I was quoted numbers of 15 to 20,000 going to this event. Doesn't look like the numbers can balance. I was told as well that local security companies aren't allowed to be involved. Now, I've got an issue as well. If I've got armed response company, doesn't matter about the brand or the name. And the issue is about how do I get in or out to try to come to my house, because I've said, hey, listen, I'm worried about something or an issue's arisen. You know, you've got to think about things like that. I mean, are these guys closed out because they're not part of that company you're talking about from Stanga?
Yeah, I think you're 100% correct with that. And they don't know the geographical area. If we've got an incident in the residential areas due to this, it's going to be a bit of a problem to get to response times quickly. So yeah, it is a big concern for us as a neighborhood watch as well.
You see, from what I can gather from our conversation here right now, just thinking about it, it doesn't appear that the local authorities, of which the Neighbourhood Watch is an extremely important one, under the Dolphin Coast Residents and Ratepayers Association, another very important organisation, the Ward Councillor, very important cog in the wheel, interface between business and residents and, in fact, everything that moves in the... None of you have been brought into the planning of this thing and you know, best practice. You know what the logistical challenges are. Mike, you certainly do. Mornay, you do. Tammy, you do. We're bringing in a couple of people from outside that don't know, that might have security background, who knows. But surely if you're going to bring a massive concert into a residential area, you take into consideration how much it's going to impact on the local residents, the local businesses, the local infrastructural companies that supply security and safety measures to the community and services that desperately need. Someone has a heart attack, for example, and they're sitting in the Belita, in the Zimbali village, or what do you call the Zimbali beach estate?
Yes.
You're not going to be able to get an ambulance there. Well, you know, you will eventually, I'm sure, but by then the golden hour might be up. It's all of these things that I don't think, I might be wrong, but I don't, it doesn't appear that they've been taken into consideration. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and I just want to mention as well, even from an environmental aspect, I mean, can you imagine the major rehabilitation that happened with the last tsunami, whatever we had a number of years ago? The amount of time and money and effort that went into the rehabilitation of the sand dunes there. Mm. I mean, it is, has that been
potential to destroy it in 2 nights?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, so yeah.
So it would appear that we've got ourselves a real situation. Now, we're not going to be able to. There's no one is suggesting that we're going to stop this concert because there's, you know, it's all too far advanced. But possibly for next year and in going forward, there should be much wider consultation and possibly. It would make a hell of a lot more sense to explain to the sponsors who apparently, if I'm correct in assuming what you say is correct, Tammy, the sponsors were those that were insistent on this thing happening on the beach, that for the very reasons that have been put forward here today, this is probably one of the worst venues for a concert. And that they would be much better served, the community would be much better served, the goodwill that would be generated by having a much more considered approach would make a win-win scenario that everyone is going to be happy with. As it stands at the moment, I don't know that having a concert in the Bolito village on Salmon Bay is going to be a particularly exciting proposition for anyone. And I'm being as frank as I can be. I don't know. What is your opinion?
I think that it's definitely not the ideal venue. I completely concur. It's definitely not the ideal venue for all the reasons that have been mentioned. I
believe you did ask the organizers of the Pro to join us today, or you mentioned you were going to.
Yes, I did.
And they didn't want to.
I think they've got their hands so full that they could, you know, there was some other drama happening down there with the surfing. I'm not 100% sure what was going on. But yes, I did. And I also tried to get hold of the ED from the municipality as well, also to give his input. Mm. And I was also not able to get hold of him telephonically. But I think you're 100% right, Dave. And the important thing to take out of here is that consultation does need to take place. And it needs to take place timeously and not just at the last minute. When a decision has already been made.
And surely there's a courtesy element as well.
Yes.
To those that have worked very hard to be able to afford the homes that they live in that area and would like to continue to live in peace and quiet is, you know, why people choose to come. And, you know, and then, of course, all those that have come down on holiday, not all are going to be delighted about having restricted access to that commercial node for 2 days. You know, it could actually be counterproductive, I believe. But it would be a very good idea going forward, I think, for the organizers to take on board this conversation, which we'll put up as a podcast shortly after this show goes to bed. And then we'll be able to share it widely. And if you've got any input, dear listener, we'd love to hear from you as well. Then in the interim, it would appear that it's a fait accompli. We are saddled with two nights of music and entertainment. The one night seems to be Thursday night is more conducive to the tastes, if you like, of of a Bolito audience, and the other lineup seems to be more conducive to the hip hop audience that comes in from outside. Either way, I think it's going to be imperative that everyone keeps calm, cool heads, hope for the best, and assist where possible with keeping things moving along nicely. There's going to be an element of inconvenience for sure. But bearing in mind that ultimately I think that Bolito as a brand benefits more from the Pro than the burdens we've been talking about right now, it is probably therefore in all of our interests to support and to assist where we can. Going forward, however, I would strongly suggest that the organizers of the Pro, and maybe Tammy you can convey this to them, There are many good people in the community that can assist with making sure that things go smoothly and that the element of friction is reduced considerably in everyone's interest. and we're happy to help and be part of that.
I couldn't agree with you more, Dave. I think we have to take lessons out of how we managed to keep the bottom of Ballito a much safer area in the last couple of festive seasons, and I'm talking about prior to lockdown, and that was through engagement with the neighbourhood watchers, with SAPS, with the municipality, and we did manage to get that unruly and antisocial behaviour under control. So going forward, definitely the message that I want to give to the community is we're going to try our utmost best to have far more consultation and public input when it comes to events like this, and timeous consultation as well. I just want to just mention, I'm sure you heard it on your voice note that you mentioned that you got, there is not going to be any alcohol allowed into the event whatsoever. So any alcohol that people are trying to smuggle in cooler boxes or whatever is going to be dumped into skips and will not get down to the beach at all.
That's the plan. Mm. Practically, is that going to work?
Mike's
looking, you've had lots of experience in them.
As you know, Dave, I walk the beaches and I walk the streets.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen. Great theory, but it doesn't happen.
Yeah, I think that's wishful thinking, quite frankly. I can, you know, I see the posters saying no drink, no drugs.
Let's see, maybe if 100 bottles were going to land up on the beach, maybe 10 will. It will be confiscated. The same as what happened in December.
Well, I suppose it all comes down to how much safety and how much security is going to be physically embodied in human capacity. Because talking about it is one thing, and practical exercise of these things is, you know, it's called in law enforcement. If there's law and there's enforcement, and there seems to be a big gulf between the two in our beloved country and our beloved town. But just one final thing that I wanted to mention, and I think it's important. Presuming that our almost entire law enforcement body is going to be down on the beachfront on Thursday night and Friday night, that does leave the rest of the strip, and I'm talking about from Sheffield to the bottom of Ballito, vulnerable to elements that have been very active of late with the load shedding. Mm. It's going to be super important now for all of us to be hyper-vigilant on those nights, because we are being exposed now to the opportunistic crime on a massive scale. I know the Neighbourhood Watch is under pressure. You're looking for volunteers to come and assist.
Absolutely. We need to get some extra feet on the ground to assist us in covering these shifts from a residential area. Yeah. As you said, there won't be much from a SAPS or KDM perspective.
Yeah. So please, if you care and you can, get in touch with Mornay and the team from the Ballito Neighbourhood Watch. They'd love to hear from you. Mike, from your perspective, I'm sure you'll keep a watching brief, and maybe we'll have a post-mortem next week. See how things went. I think it'll be quite interesting to do that, because
I'll pick up some bottles for you.
Please leave them. Not leave them on the beach, but, you know, in a skip somewhere.
No, he can't leave them. Small. He has to pick them up.
Well,
it's compulsive.
I applaud that, but please don't bring them here. Thanks so much.
Let's just hope it goes without major incidents and life-threatening situations. Yeah. You know, that's the main thing.
Absolutely. My special guest, Mike Hagen from the Minerva Street Group and Ballito in general, Councillor Tammy Colley from Ward 6 and Warner Steffens from the Neighbourhood Watch. Thank you for joining me on the afternoon show, and we look forward to a report back in a week's time.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you so much, Dave.
It's always a pleasure on 88 FM, the voice of Ballito, and moving on with the music, here's Johnny Clegg.